Blue Chip Sports Network presents Get in the Game with Eric, Brian, Reggie, and Jordan on iTunes, the Blue Chip Broadcasting YouTube channel, and BlueChipBroadcasting.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Get in the Game. It's episode number 86, and it's our Giants-A's preview for this really, really short sprint to the finish line baseball season that's about ready to kick off. My name's Eric Davis. I am part of the Get in the Game crew. The whole crew is here once again. We got Brian Nelson, my partner.
Love talking baseball, Eric. My favorite show of the year.
Yeah, Reggie Wright, the professor, is here.
I'm here. Can't wait to talk about. You know what? I've got some interesting thoughts on this, guys. I am equally excited, more excited than I ever have been about the beginning of an MLB season, but at the same time, equally weary, I guess is the right term. I don't know. So I'm interested to get your guys' thoughts. I can't wait to talk about it.
And the kid, Jordan Santa Maria, has joined us.
The mini professor.
The soon-to-be professor.
Almost professor. What's up, Eric?
It's all good. It's all good. So let's talk about this. We're a little over a week away from what promises to be one of the strangest baseball seasons that we have ever seen. I mean, this is going to be bizarre. 60 games with 60-man rosters, with expanded rosters that are eligible for game days, with universal DH, with tie-breaking rules that are completely different, and you're going to throw teams in there who, if you look at 162 games, might perform completely differently than they will in a third, in a compact one-third of the season. And, as we take a look at the Giants and A's, that is going to play a role in what we see. And so let's just start there, and let's talk about both of these teams together and how their approach to this season may be different.
Well, I think if you're the A's, Eric, I think you feel like you've got a chance to do something very special. You've got a tremendous amount of talent. It's young. And two of your big guys that you are counting on, two young pitchers, left-handers Jesus Luzardo and A.J. Puck, you were going to put them on innings limits this year. So they were almost going to like share that fifth spot in the rotation. Now with the shortened season, you can just let those guys go. They can make 10, 11, 12 starts in this shortened season and potentially pitch in the playoffs, and they won't even come close to the innings limit that you would have set for them of 100, 120 innings. So for the A's, I think this is an absolute coup for them.
Well, it does give them a chance, but these guys are going to be baptized by fire, though, too. I mean, they're going to have to come in and be ready to go. You cannot afford a slow start, can you, Jordan?
No, and the A's have kind of traditionally been known as a little bit of slow starters, right? Real interesting, though. Like, I think I totally agree with Brian. I mean, if you look at the Giants, it's polar opposites, right? The A's are primed, ready to compete. I mean, offensively, I think is where you're going to see them really have some output. I mean, with Chapman, with Olsen, with all these guys, they have the big names. I think offensively, I put them in my top five easily of the whole MLB offensively, of what they can do with Semien coming along real strong. If he can, come back with another season, I think they're right there. And with a shortened season, I think if there was any year where the A's or, another team, maybe even like the Rays or, just one of those randoms that are usually not in the big names like the Dodgers and the Yankees, if they're going to make a move, this would be the year to make it.
So Reg, if you're the Giants, if you could sit in Farhan Zaidi's seat for a minute, and that's way out of our rent district, but if you could just manage to do that, how would you approach this season from a Giants point of view?
Man, that's such an interesting question, Eric, because I'm looking at, an August 31st trade deadline, right? We know Farhan likes to make moves. He's a wheeler and dealer. The Giants farm system isn't quite where it needs to be yet, although it's been worked on, and that's kind of that's Farhan's feather in his cap. That's, one of the reasons that the Giants brought him in is to rebuild a desperate farm system in San Francisco. And You know, I think he has an opportunity to do that this year. That's a real question. I want to know from you guys, because I really don't know the answer. Like, when August 31st hits, and you know, you're two, like a lot of teams are going to be within five games of a playoff position. Are you going to be a dealer? And I think if I'm the Giants, I'm not a buyer or a seller. I kind of stand pat. I like, you know, in a shortened season with a lot of veterans, I think you can let those guys ride. They don't need as much rest as they normally would in a 162 season. They know how to grind. You know, the Hunter Pences and the Brandon Belts, guys like that. So they can let it fly for 60 games. And then with the younger guys, you've got an opportunity to see what they have, you know? So, I don't really see the Giants being all that active.
I think for the Giants, we talk about a different approach to the season where the A's are going to go for it. I think the Giants really need to focus more on the developmental side. I mean, it's great that you've got these veterans that can kind of plug a hole and or maybe are coming towards the end of their tenure. But when you've got a guy like Posey that goes down, or doesn't go down, he just says, hey, I can't play this year. And you got Belt who's hurting. I'm one who believes, you know, you've got to almost screw your traditional thinking and go, I got 60 games to play with. Let's let the kids roll. I don't think there's any harm to it, because here's the deal. If they fail at this level, they're going back to the minors next year anyway. If they succeed at this level, you may have just accelerated your process by a whole year. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
You know, I think that's interesting, because what you don't want to do, and this is where, you know, they talk about starting the clock for players 6 years and then they become a free agent. I think you could see that more with Joey Bart than I think you would see that with Ramos, who's 20 years old, or Luciano, who's 18, because what you don't want to have happen is you get 30, 35 games out of them, which is a half a year, and all of a sudden you started the clock on them towards free agency. And now those guys become free agents in their mid-20s, and you end up having to either A, lose them, or B, have to pay them a fortune to keep them around if they're going to be as good as we think they are. Bart, at 6 years down the road at age 30, I think is a different mindset. Here's the other thought, though, too, Eric. I think that if you're the Giants, I think you try a myriad of different things. I would be shocked if they run the exact same lineup out there more than five times this year, where guys are in the same position in the same batting order. I'll bet you if you have five times where that's the same, I will be shocked.
Okay. All right. Well, let's break this down just a little bit further. And Jordan, let's start and let's talk about some strengths and weaknesses of each of these squads. And I'm going to hand you the A's to start out with. What do you think is their single largest strength?
Well, I think I kind of mentioned in the beginning with the A's, and for sure offensively, just the firepower they have. I mean, they can knock the ball out of the ballpark. They got Semien, they got Olsen, they got Chapman, they got guys who can hit the ball. And I think probably their second biggest strength, I think defensively, they're pretty solid all the way around the field. I mean, your corner infields are locked. In the outfield, you got guys like Laureano as an absolute cannon in center field. They're just solid all the way around, and I think that is one of the big reasons we think that they can really contend this year.
Reggie, do you see anything different?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jordan's going for power. I'm going for pitching. I think youthful pitching is a kind of a wild card in the majors. You know, a lot of times you see young batters come up and struggle because they're trying to adjust the major league pitching. But the inverse of that would be a major league pitcher who comes up and, you know, because he's young, because there's not a whole lot of he doesn't have a whole lot of numbers or film or whatever, you know, guys haven't been able to see that pitcher. They have a tendency to baffle major league hitters for a period before the hitters adjust, and hitters will adjust. But when you look at Oakland, I mean, they're trotting out AJ Puck, Frankie Montaz, Jesus Luzardo is going to be coming out at some point. He's on the injured list right now, but he'll pitch this year. They're so deep in their rotation that I think they're gonna stifle a lot of what traditionally powerful offenses.
Well, Reg, you left out the two guys at the top of the rotation, Mike Fiers and Sean Manaea. Manaea may be the best of them all. Remember, he threw a no-hitter last year against that vaunted Red Sox lineup.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and add those guys to the list. I was just kind of like zeroing in on the guys who a lot of major league teams don't know a whole lot about.
Right. I see what you're saying.
But yeah, absolutely. You know, Manaea and Fiers, I mean, those guys are proven. Those guys are proven MLB ready pitchers, aces, really. So
see, I think Jordan hit it on the head when he talked about the defense. I think the A's have a defense that's strong up the middle, except for one exception that we'll talk about a little bit later. And at their corners, they have two potential gold glovers at first base and third base. Guys that can pick it, guys that have range. So I really like their defense and think that's one of their strengths. So, you know, we've talked about the fact that they can hit it and hit it for power. We've talked about the fact that you guys feel they've got a depth in their starting staff. We've talked about the defensive end. Nobody brought up their bullpen.
That's the area, Eric, I'd get a little concerned for this reason. Liam Hendricks was an all-star last year. He's one of the best closers in baseball. Sub-2 ERA, 25 saves, whip under one. I mean, he was phenomenal. You take that season out, the rest of his career, his ERA is near 5.
Yep.
And his whip is near 1.5. So did he figure it out? Or was that a one-shot wonder? And in a 60-game season, every game you blow in the ninth inning that causes you to take a loss is equivalent to nearly 3 losses in a traditional 162-game season. So the ability to close games out is going to be absolutely critical. If he pitches well, they could end up running away and winning the West. If he doesn't pitch well, they could be in trouble.
And then we've talked about what we think are their strengths. I'm just going to tell you what I think is their weakness. I really still believe that Luzardo and Puck are unknown quantities, and I don't think we can consider those guys a strength just yet. And I think their bullpen is going to be better, but I don't think they have that closer that you just know is the guy. Here comes, you know, every inning, every ninth inning, you know that you can trot Hendricks out, because even as well as he pitched last year, he didn't start as the closer necessarily, and he still only had 25 saves. It's not elite level closing stuff. But here's my biggest questions about the A's, and that's behind the plate and at second base. Sean Murphy is the leading candidate to have the starting job, 65 major league at bats. Austin Allen, big deal that they were able to get him, good young talent. I think he's got 85. Major league at bats, roughly. And the third guy, Jonah Hearn, he hasn't played in the majors yet. Those are the three kind of catchers right now that they're looking at. And then when you go to second base, right now, if Barreto develops and has a breakout season, they'll be fine. But right now, from where I'm looking, they've got Tony Kemp penciled in as their starting second baseman. And that's not great.
Well, he's going to bat ninth against right-handed pitching, and Barreto's going to bat ninth against left-handed pitching. But I get what you're saying, Eric. The catching position to me, because if you have a young staff, ideally, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jordan, you want an experienced catcher back there to work these guys through those situations. I mean, Jordan, what are some of the concerns you would have with a young staff and then a really young catcher back there?
Oh, I think it's a cause for disaster. I think especially in a 60-game season where the games matter that much more, you want a guy like, I think, you know, bringing up the Giants real quick, not having Buster Posey is going to be a huge hit. I mean, all those guys are used to Buster Posey, right? They're very comfortable with him out there. I think with the new manager, with Kapler, knowing that Posey's behind the plate kind of gives him a comfortable, you know, mindset going into games. But going back to the A's, having a real young catcher with not a lot of experience, it's trouble. And I also think another big problem with the A's is they still, I feel like, need a guy to be a pitcher, a starting pitcher. I know they got Manaea back, but we've talked about this for a long time, and the A's haven't been the guys to pull the trigger. But I think if you're going to go, you can't rely on Puck and these younger guys like Eric's talking about. You got to go get somebody on August 31st when that trade deadline hits, and you better go get a dude.
Yep, and Manea's got stuff. There's no question. You know, Brian mentioned he threw a no-hitter. He's got stuff, but he doesn't have consistency. He hasn't been able to string that year together where he is dominant start to finish.
And he's been hurt for a long time. Lots of injuries.
Yeah. Reg, what do you see as the weakness for the A's?
The weakness, I think, is the inexperience, you know. But honestly, in a 60-game season, this plays right into their hands. I mean, these are a bunch of guys who have experienced a lot of minor league baseball and shortened seasons, winter league ball, you know, that, you know, some of them are not that far removed from college and high school even. I don't want to make predictions yet, but I do think that of any year for Oakland to take the West in the American League, this is the year because it just fits so perfectly for them. They don't have to grind it out. They got a bunch of young guys that can just go, they can let loose. And I think that's to their advantage. You know, how many times does a major league hitter need to see a major league pitcher in order to figure them out? You know,
it takes a third of the season.
And so when you've got AJ Puck, who nobody's seen, Jesus Luzardo, who very few have seen, I think it plays right into their hands. And you guys were talking about their bullpen. You know, yeah, they're inexperienced, or their starting lineup. Sorry, or their starting rotation. You guys were talking about their age and their inexperience, and yeah, there's some inexperience there. But you know, I'm looking at their rotation right now, and Fires is what, 35, Manaea's 28, Montaz is 27, Puck's 25, Bassett's 31. So they're new, but they're not young. You know what I mean? Like they've been around the block. They just haven't seen major league hitting yet, which I think is to their advantage.
So we've taken a look at some of the strengths and weaknesses from the A's. Brian, you're the guy with their pulse on the roster. What key guys are they missing? Because this is going to be a season COVID and sickness.
Here's my concern with the A's. I don't love their depth in the infield, because if something happened to either Semien or, God forbid, Matt Chapman, that would be a problem. Because if, you know, if something happens to Olsen, you still got Mark Canna, who just pretty much plays everywhere. I'll tell you a guy who I think is really important for the A's offensively. Jordan talked about their ability to bash the baseball. They need Chris Davis, their DH, to play like Chris Davis, the guy who hits 249 every year and hits 40 bombs. Not the guy last year who hit 220 and barely hit 20 home runs. They need that old Chris Davis to come back one more time, because when he's going well and you put him in the four spot, that lineup is so different and so dangerous. But the one area that I would have concern is if one of those two guys on the left side of the infield were to get hurt. And remember, even if they miss 2 weeks, that's the equivalent of missing a month.
That's 25% of the season. It's 13 games.
Exactly.
That's
so that would be the big thing. They've got to keep that left side of that infield healthy and producing.
You know what I'm surprised none of you guys have brought up yet is, you know, in the A's player pool is local hero Tyler Soderstrom. I mean, he made the 60-man roster. Will we see him this year? What are the odds?
No, we won't see him this year. But they want him with the club. They want him with the coaching staff. You know, and think about it.
Doing baseball stuff.
Exactly. And remember, who's the A's manager? It's Bob Melvin, former major league catcher for, you know, 10, 12 years. What better guy to find out how, you know, what type of catcher Soderstrom's going to be if that's the position he stays at. I think it's a great deal for Tyler, the local kid from Turlock, to be able to be a part of this. I think that's a huge advantage.
At 19, you know.
Barely 19.
19.
This is my thing, though, guys. Like, I really want to see some of these young guys that, like, Reg is bringing up. Like, I'd love to see Soderstrom. Like, not let's say the A's, for whatever reason, were not in contention. Like, they had a bad start. You know, they're struggling a little bit, and they want to see some guys. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Soderstrom. For the Giants, I wouldn't mind seeing Luciano. I wouldn't mind seeing Ramos and Bart. Like, the Giants, to be honest, we don't have a lot to look for right now. And I think they're searching. And if you get one of those guys to really heat up, and he starts becoming a household name, why wouldn't you?
But
this is what drives me nuts, Jordan. This is what drives me nuts, Jordan, about baseball in general. There is no reason that Joey Bart should not be the starting opening day catcher for the San Francisco Giants. There's no reason. Like, what are your long-term plans for Rob Brantley? I mean, seriously.
Hey, don't forget about Chadwick Trump, man. Chadwick Trump.
No, Chadwick.
There's no minor league season this year. What else is Bart going to be doing? Playing MLB 20 The Show on PlayStation?
All you're losing is 1 year of that free agency. You know, start the clock running, and if he's worth it, you're going to pay for him anyway.
Absolutely, pay the man.
Give him a chance to play. And if you don't, he's going to have the first 60 games of his career next year, which is going to look like the first 60 games this year. There's not going to be a ton of difference, right?
Except this year, he's actually going to play because Posey's not going to be there.
Correct. This is that playground year that you have. If he's not ready next year, he plays in the minors again, which is fine. But I think you got to give him a chance to play. But that goes – That argument before we get into the Giants really goes to the different approaches of both of these squads this year. Because I don't think the A's, even if they get off to a slow start, let's say they're 10 and 15, okay? Even if they're 10 and 15, with the guys they've got, they're not gonna take their foot off the gas. They're gonna still try because they will still be in it. Worst case, they'll probably be 5 games behind at that point. That's it. Even after a bad start, they've got to go for it with what they've got this year. The Giants are going to approach it a little bit differently, I think. And I think that's when we talk about the difference in what you think the guys are going to do. I don't think you're going to see a ton of those really young kids for the A's. Out of necessity, you're going to see Lizardo, Puck. You're going to see Sean Murphy. Out of necessity. But that is it. And Barreto, and he may or may not be a starter. I think he'll end up being the starter at second base. But you're not going to see their prospects, per se, the Soderstroms or whatever. And I think that goes to, you know, how each team looks at it and why the A's aren't gonna back off until they're basically eliminated. That's my opinion. And they shouldn't. I think they've got a chance to do some stuff. And to that end, let's wrap up our A's discussion and let's talk about what we think they're going to do this year in the AL West, in the AL as a whole.
Jordan?
Whoever wants to go, just jump in.
I'm
60 games. What's their record?
I'm really torn. And I only say that because I know the Astros are going through some things and I know their ace is left, but I really feel like they have some type of chip on their shoulder. And they just want to have that prove it wrong to everybody and that they're still legit and that it doesn't matter what everyone's saying. So I think the Astros still run the division. I think the Angels got so much better with Rendon. And I think with, you know, him supporting Trout and Trout having that year in 60 games where he just goes, I'm the man and everybody knows it and I'm going to put the stamp on it and we can try and make a run here. I think the Angels can make moves. I think the A's have a little head on the Angels, so I think the A's kind of find their way into the mix. I think if they can go 34-26, they could probably get it done.
Jordan's saying 34-26 with a second-place AL West and a wild-card berth. Reg?
I think the American League West is going to be an absolute bloodbath. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath. You know, Jordan, you brought up the Angels bringing in Anthony Rendon. Don't forget, they also have a fully healthy Shohei Ohtani this year, whom they missed for a good portion of the season last year, who may return to the mound. So the Angels are going to be looking really good. The Astros, I mean, you know, like we know what the Astros have been, but then, you know, they've been stealing signs at the same time, maybe cheating. So who knows really what they are, but they're still really good on paper. And then so I'm going to blow your guys' minds right now. If last year's playoffs would have started at the end of 60 games, the Texas Rangers would have been in that wild card position. So don't sleep on Texas either. And, you know, Seattle's there. They play in the AL West, you know.
That's so everybody else can get wins.
That's right.
Sure. Yeah.
That's right. So give me a number, Reg. Give me a number.
It's a four-team race. I pick I think I wouldn't be shocked if the Astros go 38 and 22 to edge the Astros by a couple games. And I think they win the West because A's are best in the second half of the season. That's when they bring all their September call-ups up. They have their young guys playing. They're going to do that from the start this year, and they're in the mix.
So he's got them. Yeah, Reggie's got them big at 38. Brian, what do you got him at?
I got him 35-25, but I do have him winning the West. I think there'll be a lot of competitiveness. Like Reg said, the top four teams in the American League West are all pretty comparable teams. I think you'll see the A's beat up on the National League West, excluding the Dodgers, because I don't think those other four teams are all that good. So I think you'll see the A's take advantage. And they do get six games with the Giants. That will help them. So I got the A's 35-25 first place in the American League West.
All right, I'll tell you what, I've got the A's winning 33, good enough for second place. I think they're going to go 33-27. I think they'll probably get into a wild card with that, probably the last wild card. But I will tell you, I don't see the Astros as – I think they've had so much noise. I think they've got problems, and I think it's going to be the Angels that they're going to be trying to chase down. We'll save that for –
We'll talk about that later, but can you name me, other than Shohei Ohtani, can you name me another Angel starting pitcher?
It doesn't matter. They're going to score some more.
This is like, but that, I probably like could. Charles Barkley.
Sure.
I'll bet you could.
Charles Barkley.
I'll bet you couldn't.
Taylor Colton.
I bet I could.
Without looking on the internet.
his screen just turned blue for whatever reason.
Yeah. We'll talk about the Angels in the Major League preview that we're going to do before opening day. But let's move over to the Giants real quickly. Not a whole lot to talk about with the Giants, to be honest, from where I sit. If we were to start with their strengths and weaknesses, their strength is they got a lot of guys that we really love. but may not be able to play as well as we envisioned they once did.
As they used to.
Yep. I don't see much strength beyond that. I think maybe they've got a little more versatility than they've had in the past.
I think their starting pitching will pitch okay. I think between Cueto, Samardzija, Smiley, and Gausman, I think they'll keep them competitive.
See, I don't see that.
I think their bullpen's a disaster.
I think they don't have anybody in the bullpen. I think that Johnny Cueto will have a good year. I really believe he'll come back and pitch well. But Samardzija will be Samardzija. He'll pitch to about a 4 ERA, win some, lose some. Gausman, I have no confidence in right now, nor Drew Smiley. I am anxious to see Logan Webb. I think he's going to get some run in the five hole. But other than that, their pitching staff is a disaster. I just don't see
any. Let's ask this a different way, because I think if we go through the same thing we did with the A's, with the Giants, I think it's going to get depressing. So here's the thing. Give me one pitcher and one offensive player that you are excited to watch play this year?
Mauricio Dubon on offense. I can't wait to see what he can do. And pitching, I already said, I like Logan Webb or any of the younger guys. I would really like them to see I'd love to see them give Jelly a little bit of a shot too. But they're younger guys. I'd love to see them get out on the mound and spin the pole a little bit.
Jordan, what about you?
I'm right there with Eric. Dubon, I think, is probably the most exciting player on the roster right now. I think he has a lot of tools, a lot of things that, you know, to solidify that spot and to be that next guy up in that position. Pitching wise, I really just hope Samardzija has a good year. So then maybe we can trade him on the 31st, get something for him. Maybe they'll be a contender looking for him. I don't know, but I think it's a contract year, right, Brian? If I'm not wrong.
Yeah, his contract is up. Him, Smiley, and Gausman all are on 1-year deals.
Right. So I think if Samardzija can put together, you know, a strong start, we might be able to trade him for a little sum.
It's a good thought.
Reg, what about you?
Offensively, you know, this might be low-hanging fruit, but I can't wait to see what Alex Dickerson does. I know that he was on, you know, they kind of handled him with kid gloves last year because he's got, you know, former back
injury issues,
you know, so I think in a shortened 60-game season, you see them take the reins off of him.
Wait a minute. He doesn't have injury issues. It's a lifestyle.
I wonder though, guys, if in a 60-game season they don't just let him go. You know, why not? Especially if the Giants are in contention. I'd like to see what he does in at bat total equivalent of the rest of the league in comparison. And then pitching wise, I'd like to see Cueto bounce back, Eric, and I'd like to see Samardzija do well, Jordan. But really, I want to know what Andrew Suarez is going to do. And that's just, you know, for long-term thinking, like, is he going to last, or is he a guy that just kind of plugged a hole for a couple of years and then we just move on? You know what I mean? I'd like to see him kind of put some things together and see if he can end up being a back end of the rotation guy for the long-term.
So Brian, you're the resident Giants expert. What do you see?
I'm going to start on the pitching side. There's a shocker, huh?
Yeah,
I'm excited to see Tyler Rogers, and I actually hope they give him the closer's job. He's the submariner, Kent Tekulve style guy.
Yeah, 75 miles an hour fastball.
Hey, you know what? All the other closers are throwing 98. Change it up.
Yeah, it's all about, but it's coming it's all from about underneath missing bats. His knees, Eric. It's coming from underneath his knees. You know how weird that looks? It looks like 107.
I stand a chance at 75 miles an hour.
Not when it's coming from below his knees.
I can't wait to put an Instagram video up of that.
So I'm excited to watch Tyler Rogers. I think he's got a chance to be very interesting to see if he can close. Give him a shot again. 60-game season. What do you got to lose?
That's right.
And then offensively.
40 games? I mean, come on. Let's be real.
Is it going to really matter? Is it going to matter? And the guy that I'm hoping gets a shot, because we won't see Luciano, we will not see Bishop, but I think there's a guy that we might see, and that's Helio Ramos. I think he's a guy that they might actually give a look at in September. He is a phenomenal athlete. He's got ridiculous power. He's got almost a dare I say, Puig-like arm. I mean, he's a special talent. And I almost think you might see him before you see Bart, though I think that's a mistake, but I think you may see him first, because playing a corner outfield position is a lot less demanding than catching in the big leagues.
And that's where I'm just going to take the conversation a little bit differently philosophically. If they run this year old school, where they're, you know, well, the kids need more seasoning. Well, you know, what 18-year-old can be successful? Well, you know, we don't want to start the contract clock going. If they run this short sprint differently like that, it will be an epic fail. This is an opportunity. Personally, I want to see Joey Bart behind the plate. I want to see Luciano. I want to see Hunter Bishop. I want to see Leo Ramos. I want to see Sean Jelly. I want to see these guys. I even want to see the rookie catcher they picked up from North Carolina State. Patrick Bailey. Give them time. Baptize them by fire. Because how many guys have we seen in baseball that they, you know, when you go, you can't play in the league at 18. Well, what about Robin Yount managed to do it? Juan Soto is doing it. Harper
Puna was 19.
Yeah, Harper was 19 or 20. There are guys that if they are superiorly physically gifted can make that jump and do it. And from everything I hear, Bart intellectually can do it behind the plate. Calling a game, catching a game, throwing a game, he's there already. They're just worried about his bat. Well, let the man hit against major league pitching and at least see where his weaknesses are. You know, I just think that now is the time. You've got a chance to get their feet wet at basically a year when you're not planning on doing anything anyway. You don't have Posey back there clogging the way. Let the kids play. Because I would pay to see Joey Bart play. I would not pay to see Tyler Hinneman, nor Rob Brantley, nor Aramis Garcia, nor our good buddy Chadwick Trump. I would not. I'm just not interested.
Hey, so to me, I'm calling it right now. Trump makes the club, has a monster first week, and we see Trump for president 2020.
Make the Giants great again, Trump! Make the Giants great again.
Oh, gosh. All right, so let's jump right to that. There's just not a lot to talk about with the Giants. Their roster is weak. They have no catcher. They have an outfield that is cobbled together. They've got an over-the-hill Evan Longoria, who I love, by the way. I'm not saying anything negative. They've got Brandon Belt, a guy at first base who's never really performed. Brandon Crawford, whose best days are behind him, love the guy. But they just don't – there's nothing on their roster that's going to give you this kind of enthusiasm that, yeah, we're going to be in it after 30 games. Maybe they are. I just don't see it. Where do you guys think they're going to finish? Let's start with Brian and work backwards.
I think they finish – they don't finish in last in the National League West. They finish very close to last. I think if they can win 25 games with the schedule they have set up, I think that would be considered a reasonable expectation. Their schedule to start is brutal. They play the Dodgers 7 times on the road, 4 games in Colorado, 3 games in Houston before we get to August 15th. Yeah. Going to be rough.
I agree. Reggie, where you see the Giants?
I may be a little more positive than you guys. I think the Giants finish above 500. I think they finish 32-28. I know that the Dodgers have started slow in the last three years in a row. I mean, let's face it, guys. Last year's World Series team would not have made the playoffs if the season had ended at 60 games. The Dodgers are a slow starter. I think the Giants can at least win 3 out of those first 7. And I don't see much out of Colorado this year. Houston, who knows? I know, you know, Brian, they're on the road in Houston. I don't really think the National League West is that strong. I don't see much out of San Diego yet. They're still really young. I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants finished at 32-28, third place in the National League West.
Wow. He sees like 3 games different.
Hey, Reg, I will be so excited if the Giants win 32 games that all four of you guys will be at my house for a steak dinner on
there
me.
There you go.
If the Giants win 32 games, and we'll invite the team too, because I'm feeling pretty good about that. I got a great bottle of wine.
I'm telling you guys, it sounds crazy, but we are so conditioned to the Brian Sabian San Francisco Giants, where we just ride the geriatric ward until they retire. We've got a bunch of new young guys. Like, we're talking about, are we going to see Helio Ramos? Are we going to see Joey Bart? I really think we see those guys. Farhan's a different cat. He doesn't play, you know, the the same style of general managing baseball that we're used to. I think we see a lot of young guys. I think we see a lot of, you know, close games, surprise wins. I think the Giants are better than people think.
And finally, Jordan Santamaria.
Reg, I want to be with you, man, but I see 10 games different. I see them winning 22 games, just over 20. I mean, it'll hurt, but I really hope we see the young guys. I mean, I don't think we can say it enough. As long as we see the young guys and they develop, and, you know, maybe we see a couple guys that, you know, can stay on the major league roster for, you know, the following year, I'm good with that. We're moving in a direction. That's what I'm looking for.
I'm with Jordan, and I don't see – I think Brian said 25 wins. Jordan says 22. I'm in that neighborhood. I think if they were to get to 30,
Gabe Kapler should be manager of the year.
He would be manager of the year. I am very hungry, and I expect not just a regular steak, Brian. If they win 30 games this year, I expect ribeye all around.
No, and I said 32.
USA Today projected them to win 26.
No, they'll win.
No. You can't think they can sneak up and win four more?
23.
You said 32, Reg.
Wow. I know. I bank it. 32.
I hope you're right, man.
Look it. I believe it. I do, too. And I'm going to watch the Giants all year long, and I'm going to cheer for them, and I'm going to hope. I do know we're on the right path. We're just a couple of years away still. And unless they play, we're probably 3 years away unless they play the kids. So, you know, hopefully they'll do that. Well, guys. That is our A's and Giants preview for this weird 2020 MLB season that doesn't even start until July 23rd and 24th. Only 6 days off in 60 games. It is going to be a sprint. It's going to be a lot of fun. And win, lose, or draw, both of the teams in the Bay Area have compelling reasons to watch them during this season. So for Get in the Game podcast, for my partner, Brian Nelson, for the Professor Reggie Wright, and for the kid Jordan Santamaria, my name's Eric Davis. I want to thank you for making this a part of your podcast portfolio. And don't forget, if you like this, if it was entertaining in any way, shape, or form, let a friend know. Tell them how to give here, Brian.
Go to iTunes, type in the search bar, Get in the Game Blue Chip, or go to bluechipbroadcasting.com and get on our podcast page where everyone of the 86 podcasts reside.
You know, and I always wonder, why do we tell people how to get someplace they've already been? I don't know, but we do it every time. Just want to leave you with this thought, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, get in the game.
You've been listening to Get in the Game, an exclusive presentation of the Blue Chip Sports Network. Get in the Game with Eric, Brian, Reggie, and Jordan on iTunes, the Blue Chip Broadcasting YouTube channel, and bluechipbroadcasting.com.